You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast live on a Friday night. As ever at half past seven. We're always 1 or 2 minutes late, but we get there in the end. So, yeah, welcome along. I hope everybody is well. Get your comments in. There's supposed to be four of us, but only three have turned up. We don't know where Connor is. He's probably forgot, or he's sleeping, or the hamster's not working to turn the wheel to get his internet to work. So hopefully Connor does join us at some point. But I am joined tonight by the old guard, Kerr and Brian. Kerr, firstly, my friend, how are you?
Not bad, Martin. Could be better, could be worse, as I always say. Everything's fine. My granddaughter's over, so she's down the stairs and now we are married. So once I finish this, I'll go down and join.
Has she got a Rangers tap on?
No, she hasn't. Just got a baby growing.
Are you half full or half empty tonight?
A bit of both, Brian.
Brian, how are you?
Very good, very good. It's Friday night and we're talking Rangers. The women's game's away to kick off soon as well, so we'll keep abreast of that when if there's goals or incidents during the podcast. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, you'll keep us right up to date, Brian, because you'll be watching it, so you'll be kind of half listening to the podcast.
No, I'll be paying attention. Don't worry. It's called multitasking. Men can do it sometimes.
No, they can't. Multitasking is impossible. I've tried it so many times, it's absolutely impossible. But look, we're here to talk Rangers. We're not here to talk multitasking. And yet, Brian will keep us right up to date with the Rangers women who are playing Celtic women. Brian?
Yes, they're playing at the Excelsior in Clyde. So the teams are just on their way out onto the pitch. Strong Rangers team. I'm expecting a win because we've got Jane Ross and Rio Hardy up front who are utter goal machines just now. I think we've scored 22 goals in the last two games, albeit one against the Inverness Cali Thistle ladies in the Scottish Cup, but we put 10 past Dundee United who are in the SPL. So looking forward to this. So it's a League Cup semi-final and it's, I think, the winner of Partick and Hibs in the other semi. So, yeah, look, they're just shaking hands.
Whoever wins this, Brian plays Hibs, effectively.
Well, Partick have been actually not too bad recently, so I wouldn't totally discount them. I would say Hibs are favourites, but wouldn't totally discount Partick at this stage.
Well, you can keep us right up to date with that. Like I say, like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter. Give us a follow and all that. You all know what you do. So just do it if you haven't already. Well, Willie Irwin, I think he's got an account at Greg's. So he does. And you know, I've not seen the big man for ages. I'll need to get in contact with him.
Anytime, Willie, anytime. I'll get you a bell when I finish here.
No, when you finish here, you're going to see your granddaughter.
I can still bell Willie.
Beltlum or Bellum?
Whatever takes his fancy.
I wouldn't say that to his face, by the way, because he's about 6'8". But anyway, news kind of not long broke here that Hearts have terminated Alex Lowry's loan early. Is that a surprise?
He wasn't getting game time, really, was he, Martin? Obviously, he wasn't doing enough to get his place in the side. And what was the point of having him here? Probably Stephen Naismith's looked at it and thought, is he performing any better than the boys we've got here? He's not really allowed to play at the end of the day. Might as well just send them back, because I don't know how much he was paying or if he's paying his wages. So he probably just says, we'll send them back to Rangers. He's here playing at the end of the day, and we'll give our own lads a chance to play in the squad again, maybe get into the first team. So probably best for all round, but I was surprised that he didn't do more, because what we've seen him, we know he's got the ability, Alec, but he's not kicked on at Hearts, and if he can't really get in the Hearts first team, come back to Rangers, he's not really going to walk into our first team, is he? Even with injuries.
It's not the first time, Brian, that we've been sitting discussing Lowry and not lack of potential. I think we've always discussed his potential, but it just seems to be, and again, I don't want to come out and say stuff that might be wrong, but there's been too many examples now where, is it application? Is it mindset? Has he maybe just not got the ability that we all just assumed that he had? There's been some stuff in his private life which, you know, would knock anybody out, right? So we'll never have a go at him, obviously, for that. That's family. But he's not kicked on.
No, it's been, I must admit, I really thought this move to Hearts was going to really kick him on, in the sense that, right, he's going to another SPL team who are easily top six. I thought, right, he's gonna cement his place in the team. He's certainly gonna, you know, try and, you know, apply himself better than, I mean, I think that's about the third or fourth manager that's either not played him or not fancied him. So it's difficult to come to the conclusion that application's not the primary sort of force in this. I don't think anybody would debate his ability, because I don't think ability's in question. It really now seems to come down to his application and whether he thinks he's better than what he is. And I that's too many managers now for me that have looked past him and not played him regularly to, you know, if you can't get a game at Hearts and you're getting sent back on loan, that's not a good sign for me, really. And it's kind of worrying now, because he's one of these, is he going to be another one of these guys that's a nearly man, in the sense of he should have been fulfilling his potential a lot more, because he's 20 now. He's not, we can't say he's a, you know, a young lad, teenager. He's beyond the sort of mature stage now. He should be kicking on and dominating. I mean, there's 18-year-olds in the SPL dominating, you know, games easily, whereas Lowry can't even get a start. So that's the worrying thing for me now. There's teenagers playing for other SPL clubs that are tearing it up, and Lowry can't get a look in anywhere.
There's teenagers playing for teams in the Championship.
They're
tearing it up. No names will be mentioned. And certainly no football clubs will be mentioned. But however, there we go. Is this all care? Is this all on Lowry? I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend, as I try and do something with this hair, I'm not going to sit here and pretend, care, that I've watched Hearts every week, because I simply haven't, and I probably should have kept up more interest in Hearts with Lowry being there, because he's supposed to be the next big thing. He's our next prospect. But is this all on Alex, or did maybe Hearts need to take a wee bit of blame here on how they've used them?
They can't really comment on the Hearts side, Mark. I don't know enough about Hearts to say what they've done behind the scenes. But
surely Rangers' deal with Hearts care was he might not start every week, but he got more game time than what he was getting.
You would have thought so, but at the end of the day, if you're a manager and you've got to put him on for another club and he's not doing what you require to be done, not just going to play him because you promised another club, because it's detrimental to your job and also your fans. So you're not going to play somebody for no trying, basically, or no doing what everybody else is doing in training or on the in the park when the game's on. So you only play him when he's, if he's putting in for him, and at the moment in time he doesn't seem to be playing well enough to be involved with Hearts. That's why they've sent him back. Is he going to be involved with us? I don't think so. So maybe the best interest for Alec is going to go somewhere else in Scotland or maybe lower leagues in England just to try something different. I mean, I've no doubt there's a player there, but the only person that can show that is Alec Lilley. Nobody else, doesn't matter where he goes, any manager he works under. It's up to him at the end of the day, and we all know he's got a bit of ability, but sometimes that's not enough for some guys.
It's a bit of a stretch calling Naismith a manager right now. Mark Doyle, timing suspicious on Lowry. Did we spit the dummy? That's a fair shout. And also, a good point, Brian Fiarin, channel member. Oh, by the way, Mark's been our channel member for 11 months. Thank you very much. Hearts are going for European football. They've no interest in developing Lowry. A mid-table team is a good fit for him. Would you go along with that? Or do you think it's a case of, no, he needs to be playing at the highest level possible, if you like? And you're on mute, Brian, which is just unacceptable.
Sorry, I'm 50-50 on this one. I never kind of gave that much thought until Aaron said that. There's probably an argument where Hearts are looking to cement, as he's saying, you know, a European spot. And then we're expecting Hearts to play him every week. So there's probably a slight, you could say there's truth in that. You would probably find that if he went to, I don't know. I mean, normally you would say mid-table is a Kelly team. Would he fit in a Kelly team? I don't know.
You were trying to think of a middle-of-the-road team there and you've not got a clue who's in the middle of the table, Brian, have you?
Not really, no. Well, normally Kelly are, but I know they're fourth. But I would probably say like a Motherwell or somebody like that, you know. And it's there's probably a little bit of truth in the sense that Hearts aren't interested in, you know, developing them as Aaron's saying.
So, right, well, Brian, right, so Hearts are third, Kilmarnock are fourth, St Mirren are fifth, Hibs are sixth, Dundee are seventh. What? Aberdeen are eighth, Monaghan are ninth.
I was going by normal predictions and normal sort of circumstances, which isn't this season.
Can I just say something here? And this is totally random. What are Dundee doing in seventh?
I know. I would never have put, would you put them mid table?
I forgot they were in the league.
No, can't I say that?
I just did. Well, they're in seventh. That's that.
No, I would associated Kilmarnock and Motherwell and that sort of ilk of teams in the mid table. And there's a good sort of suggestion that if he played for the likes of them, then he's going to be playing most weeks for that sort of teams. Hearts have obviously got a bigger budget, so they've probably thought, well, we can go and get our own players. And they've decided that he's taken up too much of theirs. He's not playing much. So, unfortunately, Alex Lowry's taken the fall and he's back at us.
I would imagine, Kerr, that Rangers will be looking, well, for what I'm hearing anyway and what's getting said on socials, that Rangers will be looking to kind of put him straight back out on loan. Like Brian says, look, a mid-table team maybe. I mean, that's all that's really left. A mid-table team in the Scottish Premiership would be ideal, but it won't be Kilmarnock because they've just signed Greg Taylor, who looked ecstatic, by the way.
Greg Stewart, sorry.
and he looked ecstatic, didn't he?
No, he's back up the road. He wanted back up to Scotland, didn't he?
I signed a Greg Taylor, different one, in my Woking save on FM. That's what's in my...
Listen, I think a lot of this you have to look at Lowry himself, because I think you can maybe blame Hearts to a point, but if he was playing well enough, they wouldn't have released him, they wouldn't have let him back. They kept him in the first team if he was creating chances and scoring goals. But obviously he's not. Maybe he's not happy there for whatever reason. So either comes back to us and knuckles down and shows, come on, what he can do, like Ross McCausland has, or you want to meet somewhere else, it might end up being the same issue. Maybe if he goes to somebody like St Mirren or... Well, he'll have to roll his socks up because these teams have to defend a lot. And I don't know if that's Alex's game, so I might not want to put him there games where, you know,
is there a place in the first team for the rest of the season for Lowry under Clement? I mean, don't know.
I think with injuries, we've got Martin in the squad, we've got, and you don't know who's coming in or maybe who else is getting out, because at this moment in time, there's not been a lot happening. But I think if he can show what he's got ability wise, I think he would get a chance under Clement. But he has to show it. He just kind of live off his wee bits and bobs he's done in the past. He has to show a manager he's consistent enough to be given the chance, and his attitude's spot on, and he's willing to listen. And just like maybe what Camille was going through with the manager criticising him a few times and other players, he has to show that belief in himself. And if he doesn't, then he's no longer really going to be here much longer, because the manager has already said he doesn't even want players like that. So it's up to Alec. Like Brian said, he's not a young boy anymore, he's 20. We all know that's still young, but he's been about the football club for a while, so he knows what to do and what not to do. And at Rangers, you get a lot of things done for you, don't you? When you go to other clubs, you don't get as a lot of these things done if you have to do a lot yourself. So I don't know. It's up to Alec. And they know what they can do that apart from him. So hopefully he sees that side of it and he can realise what he's got at the moment, or he might end up losing that and end up having to go somewhere else to play his trade. Because, like I said, there is a player there, Martin, but it's up to Alec Lowry to show that. You just can't depend on it. He has to show it. He can't expect it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rangers on tour, maybe Hearts are clearing the decks in order to give Shankland, and I would imagine he's going on to say a bumper new deal, which is the rumours going about. AA Studios, Martin, morning signs if we offload Lammers. This is a point, Brian. If we offload Lammers, and I'm very conscious that we've spent 10 minutes talking about Alex Lowry, so I'll try and make this the last point and we'll move on, folks. I do apologise. If we offload Lammers and we don't take Lowry back, that doesn't even make sense to me. Warning signs if we offload Lammers and do not take him back. If he does not come back and get a chance to fight for a position, he is done. That was extremely difficult for me to read. But, Brian, you get the point. And you're still on mute. That's two, Brian.
Well, I kept getting roused for not being on mute, so I'm just permanently on mute now. I think so it's
basically, sorry, for me to say the point, because I'm worried that my English was shocking there. If Lowry can't get back in this team as a backup or an impact sub or a squad player with Lammers gone, then is that curtains for him?
I think it is. I mean, as me and Kerr both said, he's not a youngster anymore. He's 20. There's a point where, as a youth player, that you realise that this youth player is either going to be, you know, a first team squad player or not. Barry Ferguson was the last one you could easily say that came in, who was a 18, 19-year-old and absolutely dominated a midfield and made it his own around world-class players. And that, to me, said everything about him as a player. Lowry, he's done it in flashes here and there. He's obviously had a couple of bad injuries where, you know, he's been out for a period of time. But if he doesn't take this chance now, then, as you say, I really don't see a way back for him.
Can I just say my favourite comment so far? And please do, folks, get your comments in. Fate Socrates. Good evening, everyone. End of the week, the rabble and a single malt. Does it get any better? And the answer to that question is...
malt?
Doesn't matter, Brian. Don't ruin it. Does it get any better? No, it does not get any better. The rabble and a single malt. What else could you ask for? Answers in the comments, please. I can't believe I just done that. Answers in the comments. We know what's going to come now. We know what's going to happen now.
It always depends what single malt it is.
Well, we just know what our comment section's like. They're not nice people. They're really not nice people when they get started.
Where I'm from, single malt means a big difference.
Yeah, all right, okay. You're fit up north. We get it. You're actually Scottish, and we're not. I get it.
just wanted to tell his favourite whiskey, didn't he, Martin?
I think whiskey's bogging, but there we go. As everybody will know, when I do my wee advertisements, for our sponsors, one of which is NordVPN, links in the description if you use the link, and you get a deal that you like, you help to support the podcast. But one of our newer ones is Football Prizes, and I believe it's closed now, but there was a competition to win a signed James Tavernier match-worn shirt. And within that, I told you that you could also get, if you entered that competition, you could get instant prizes. Alexander, I just seen this comment. At the Rangers Rabble podcast, I entered the football prizes competition for a TAV top and won an instant prize from a signed and framed Paul Gascoigne Rangers top. I'm over the moon. There you go. See, we only take on sponsors that we know are going to give you good stuff. So that's what you get for football prizes. As soon as there's another Rangers competition, then I will certainly let you all know. But get yourselves over there anyway. Check it out and see what you fancy. Right, Brian, what's your favourite whiskey? You're on mute again, Brian.
There's a couple.
Right, okay.
Dalwhinnie and Glendronach.
All right. Can we move on now?
Yeah, yeah. Isle of Raz is a good one, by the way. I like that.
Right. So we can... as my dogs are like that, Martin. Move on. Stop talking about whiskies.
You're just dying for one.
No, I'm at, do you know what I like? And I probably shouldn't have mentioned this because I don't want to say it's a young person's drink, but I like Mad Dog. I do. I like Mad Dog. I don't know why. I've liked it for I was young, and I like the taste. And any Mad Dog fans out there? Yeah. Okay.
Martin, no. Mad Dog Douglas. That sounds about right.
Yeah, well, I think the reason I wore it the football, the reason I got somebody to go into the office and buy me it the first time was because the initials on it were MD. And listen, Mad Dog is nice. Kerr, we shall discuss the transfer situation that we find ourselves in, which is there is no transfer situation that we currently find ourselves in. We brought in obviously Fabio Silva on loan. The manager's press conference today, which we'll touch on in a wee minute. But within that, he has said that Danilo will pretty much be out for the rest of the season. So regardless of whether we have 100 million in the bank or whether we have 100 pennies in the bank, we need a striker.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that. I think the manager knows that himself. But his hands are tied, aren't they, Martin? He's not got a lot to play with. And I think that's one of the reasons that maybe Ridbam is involved in a couple of the other clubs interested. They're trying to get money back in to get a striker because he's having to move pieces about, because you can only sell your players that clubs are interested in, and if you get a decent offer. So I agree with everybody else here. If we go the rest of the season, if we end this window, maybe we'll only get Dessers and nobody else up top. I think we'll find it hard because he's not consistent enough to get goals. We do need another striker. I know Shankland's the name in everybody's lips, but I just feel we need to bring somebody else in up top because we can't rely on one guy, because Silva's, to me, not an out striker. He's more a link-up player. He can play out the left, he can go right. Or he plays off the striker, but he's not a penalty box striker, and that's basically what we need. So he's going to have to try and do something. I do think he'll get maybe another one, maybe two loans. But with no money to spend, Martin, it's very difficult to get permanent signings.
I have to say, Brian, right, and people might have a go at me in the comments for this, right? It's just, this is my own personal feelings. Number one, I think we will, like Kerr says, we will see incomings, right? Because the manager pretty much, again, alluded to that in his press conference that, you know, they're close with one or two. He's not naming names, and fair, that's absolutely fair enough. But if we don't bring in a striker, if we bring in another midfielder, a defender, or a winger, or whatever, if we don't bring in another striker for me, Brian, just my own opinion. People in the comments, don't jump down my throat. We don't win the league.
The obvious one is along the M8. It's the most blatantly glaring, obvious transfer.
I don't... No. Can we just leave the Lawrence Shankland chat? Please.
No, we can't. If we don't sign him, Martin, we don't win the league. It's quite simple. No, but
there is other strikers out there that we can sign to help us win the league, right? But my point, just my basic point, Brian, was if we do not bring in a goal scorer, a striker, somebody who can put the ball in the back of the net, we will not win the league.
Yes, and I'm emphasising there's one along the M8 who's ready-made. We know what he can do. He knows the league. There's nothing difficult in that. He knows the league. He can score goals. He can score 20-plus goals, which is something we've not had since Kenny Miller, believe it or not. What more do you want? I mean,
is that the Kenny Miller, Brian, that you said to me was 100% a bona fide legend at Rangers Football Club?
When did I say that? When did I? Don't you throw me under the bus. Don't you dare. I never said the likes.
Did you not say that you preferred him to Ally McCoy's?
Oh, God. Honestly. Of all the people to pick as well, Ally McCoy's, I mean, come on.
Who's the me to say?
I mean, let's be honest. The boy's ready-made. He wants to play for Rangers. Go and do it. If you don't do it, you won't win the league. It's quite simple.
Well, Kerr's just came off mute, so Kerr's going to come straight back in here. He's going to punish me and you here, Brian. Go for it, Kerr.
I was going to say, I agree with you, Martin. There's other strikers out there. And I know that the thing for Scotland is, yeah, we know he can score goals in Scotland. And if we get him, he will score goals for us. But the big issue is money, Brian. And unless you or Martin are willing to give Rangers a loan, we're not going to get him because Hearts are going to ask top dollar. They get a right to ask top dollar because it could be the reason they get in Europe, the reason they don't get in Europe if they sell them or keep them. So they get a right to sell player. And I think the outlay for this board that Rangers at the moment is too much. And I think that's the reason. I think if he was younger, they might do it. I think if he came from another league, they might do it. But they're thinking he's not getting any selling. And that's a lot of money to spend out, especially when they spend a lot of money on Dessers, Danilo and Lammers. I think if they didn't do the A3, I think he'd have bought them by now. But I think the problem is there's nothing coming back up a Shankland if you're spending that money. We all know we win the league, we get into the Champions League, which is great, but that's too much of a risk for this board to take, I feel. I don't feel they're risk takers.
Kerr, there's people saying that, you know, Hearts are asking for $5 million for Shankland and they're trying to price us out the deal, right? All three of us are sitting here saying that, look, if Lauren Shankland came into Rangers, right, completely forgetting about Europe right now, because I would imagine we're all just simply focusing on trying to win this league, right? That's what we want, right? We want to win the league. And us three are sitting here saying, Shankland will come in and he'll score goals, because I don't think for a second that he wouldn't. I think 100% he comes in and scores goals. Why shouldn't Hearts ask for $5 million for somebody who can come in and score 20 goals a season when we spent how much on Dessers? How much on Lammers?
I agree. I mean, if he was our player and some of the teams after him, I would want top dollar. So Hearts have got a right as their player, and he could be the reason that Naismith gets the sack. If he does sell him, he could be the reason they finish maybe fourth or fifth if you sell him. So they need to keep him because he's a very important player for them. Take his goals out of their team. They've not scored many further areas. So I think that's why they've offered him a new deal as well. But I think they know deep down he probably wants away because he wants to play at a higher level with a bigger club. But he's their player. And so he's not going to force it. He's a captain. He's not going to force it. He's not a type of person. And I think Rangers have to pay that money. But Rangers are going to get that money to pay. And like I said, the other board will not take a risk because we've done it before taking this.
We're going to speak about this board in a minute.
It's backfired. So I don't feel this board will take that risk at this moment in time.
Des Masson. With another super sticker, he does it all the time. He's a great supporter of the channel. Thank you very, very much, Des. And did I pronounce your name correctly this time? Because I know that he was having a go at me. He wasn't happy. My pronunciation of names is horrendous, I have to admit. So, Des, thank you as ever for the support. We're going to talk about the board in a wee second, Brian, right? But if we can park the Shankland chat now, right, which, okay. If you try to say that quickly, by the way, it's quite difficult, right? So we can park that chat. If we as a football club, right, only set our eyes on one player and we had no backup, we had no plan B or plan C, and you know, it was the Mark Warburton plan of just try and do plan A better, right? And the only player that we looked at in the striking options to bring in January was Lawrence Shankland, then there's something seriously wrong at our football club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the manager alluded that today in his press conference regarding contracts, you know, signings and contracts. He found it amazing that there was five players on the brink of signing pre-contracts with other clubs as it stands. He found that amusing and incredulous to think that could be a possibility. I'm quite sure that if Philip Clement was the manager at the start of the season, that wouldn't be the case. But that's just how a proper manager works. So yeah, it's very. I would be amazed if Clement has not even identified numerous strikers that could come in and do a job. I'd be amazed. This guy,
I'd be amazed, Brian, if Clermont was told for the rest of the season, by the way, and including in January, even though you've seen the state of our team, we're not giving you anything.
If I was Clermont, I'd be extremely disappointed if the club sat down around and said in January.
I think they will. So I think it's a moot point, to be fair.
Yeah, I think the very first chance that you've got to strengthen your team and the board are going to tell you no, I'm pretty sure that's not what Clermont signed up for. He'd be very, very hard done by after how he's done, getting top of the Europa League, winning a cup, getting us, you know, decreasing the points in the league. He's turning around to the board and saying, look, I've done more than was expected. I need a bit more support. And to be fair, he's the first manager in a couple that you would actually trust with money.
I'll come on to that in a wee second as well, actually, because that's quite a popular opinion. But firstly, Fat Wind Bag Ben. What is it with the names? I know we've had Fat Wind Bag Ben on before, right? Again, phenomenal support for the channel. Martin, have a mad dug on the facts. We need Shanklin now. The board fucked up giving Mr. Bean Beale too much money to spend, seeing this coming like ahead on crash care. Is it simply a case of that? Is it a case of Beale's just done too much damage? And I've heard FFP being mentioned quite a bit as well, which I don't understand. I don't know all that stuff.
I think it's you can't spend more money than your accumulated, isn't it?
Is it not 15 million you can lose over 3 years or something like that?
Listen, I don't know how it works unless you're a big club running the money and get away with stuff. If you're a small club,
you can't help yourself.
Club in England you're thinking of there, Karen?
No.
A few. I just feel.
So, if Manchester United at Manchester City, right? Manchester United have spent more money, right, over the last however many years it is, if you add it up, right? It's about 300 or 400 million, and they've both spent well over $1 billion, right?
Wow.
So is it fair that Manchester United can spend more than them just because they're a bigger club?
If they make the money themselves, aye, but
so it's just then. So the biggest club I think
the rules, Martin, as it should be, running away club, not just club. Some clubs shouldn't get away, but it doesn't matter who the club is, they shouldn't get away.
Anyway, sorry, back to his point, I couldn't help myself. But,
apart from the Rangers, as the problem is you overspent in the summer, and I know people come out with different figures and stuff like that. We only spent that, so broke even. But it's not even just that, it's like the wage bill's far too high for the squad of players we've got. They've been trying to do the stadium up, haven't they? The Edison House and all that community, a bit of the money, if you look at the accounts, and all the money we've made has been back out in certain things, so there's not a lot of money there. And then when you're letting players leave for free like done last season in Morelos and Kent, and you're running contracts down just now, overall Rangers board have been great, because we should be doing a lot better than we have done, because we are a big club, but the board are not like we're a big club. You just have to look at other clubs in Scotland who do better than us, and they're smaller clubs, but they do better than us board-wise. So I think Clermont's the man, and I think the board have probably thought he's come into this team. You probably would have thought next season we can maybe take a look at the transfer market. We're not going to do a lot this season, but he's come in and he's probably done a lot better than expected. Done a lot better than we all expected, to be honest with you. We're still in Europe, we won a cup and we're not out of the league. I mean, I thought the league race was over in the obvious year, but Clermont's coming in, putting it on its head. But he needs help.
We cannot win the league care with the current squad we have. I don't care what anybody says. That's my
thing. I think we could we're very consistent.
They've just went out and spent $3 million on a new player.
I know, but you know yourself, Martin, $3 million, $5 million, even though signing Shanklin, it doesn't guarantee you. It makes it you get a better chance, but the Rangers shot is heavy compared to another shot when you come and play a special, the striker. Just have to ask McCoy's that, and if you miss a couple of chances, you know what the fans are like, especially at Ibrox. You can't go on your back, you need to be a...
Scout properly and get somebody with the right mentality and determination and composure. Football
manager, all about it. Stuff was never there as well. It's all been changed, and the setup was never great. And it all started way back, and then Ross Wilson came in, was meant to be doing it all, and he didn't make it any better, to be honest with you. You know, my thoughts on Ross Wilson, and then the board have changed, and you get.
You wouldn't help him off a tall chair, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I just feel the board have got a lot of more questions to answer because they've done great for us in the past doing stuff, but there's a lot of things they've not done properly. And they have to be done properly, especially a club at a size Rangers. I mean, they generate a fantastic fan base. We get 50,000 every game, folk buying the RTV all over the world to watch games, people coming from all over the world to visit. I mean, we sell shots everywhere. So, and we do our good runs in Europe, in the Europa League, getting to a final and group stages. So, the money's coming in, but you have to ask where it's all going because it's not just, I know some of it's going back into the team. But one thing we have to stop doing, Martin, is to stop giving players a higher wage.
$6 million on Danilo.
We pay players that come to the Scottish League far too much money, I feel. Some of them are on far too much money. But maybe that's sometimes the only way you're going to get them up here, because it is the Scottish League.
No, well, see on that, and I know we're going off on a pure tangent here, Kerr, right? But take Scott Wright, for example. You're not telling me that you had to offer Scott Wright the wages that he's on to come to Rangers for?
No, because he's coming for Aberdeen, so he's on a big wage. But get exactly. Guys,
like, we overpay him, and now we can't get rid of him.
Lammers, Danilo, they're probably two people out of money to come here from your country. I mean, Raskin, because he was highly sought of in Belgium, isn't he? Lundstrom was on a good wage at Sheffield United. Campbell was probably on a good wage. So you're having to, Jack Butland was probably on a good wage. So you're having to pay these guys a bit more, especially maybe Butland. I know they're not going to be Skype Martin and I get more than we get, but you know what I mean? We're probably paying them more than other clubs would. It's just because we're a big club and we think we can offer it. But getting guys like Lammers 4-year deals is pointless for me. Maybe give them two, an option and another one. Especially you don't really know a lot about these guys. We didn't know a lot about them. And I think the due diligence on the board hasn't been great. I think they gave Beale too much power and it backfired tremendously. And I think they'll not do that with Clermont because they'll be scared. But I think Clermont's got a better track record than Beale.
I think you can tell right away. Clermont knows what he's talking about, knows what he's doing. And Clermont's got previous for winning stuff. I want to stop there before I say what I'm really thinking about Michael Beale. Kieran, I'm going to come straight back to you. Apologies, Brian, because Brian started yawning there. So I'll let Brian wake up. But Kieran, obviously you've got a really good knowledge of down south. And Mark Doyle's asking, and I hate these kind of questions, right? Because when I get these questions, then I've not got a clue. But what do you guys think of Tommy Conway at Bristol City? Rumours linking him with a move to Ibrox.
He's a good player, Tommy. I mean, playing a championship down there, so he'll win a decent wage. I'm not saying he's going to win a lot, but a decent wage. But if you can get him for nothing, it'd be great. But you know yourself, Martin, the players in the championship, they're still costing £10-15 million. For guys who are just average footballers, because the price for players in England is just stupid, basically. It's ruining football at a point.
Well, Richie's saying he's injury prone, Brian, so no doubt we'll be in from the morning.
Oh, well, he's signing in the dotted line.
He's definitely signing. Again, Brian, it's not somebody I really know that much about, to be honest. In fact, when he was linked, that was the first time I'd ever heard of him.
You'll never guess when I first seen him. Some guy was doing like what you've done on for the podcast channel, improving Rangers. This guy was rejuvenating Rangers on Football Manager, and he signed Tommy Conway. It's the first time I'd heard of him. So
did he work?
No.
Oh, well.
He didn't, unfortunately. So, No, never heard of him. Obviously, he scored against, I think it was West Ham the other night, for Bristol City. So that's when you hear about him all of a sudden. He's came to the fore. But no, I will not profess to know anything about him. And no, not for me.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm on the same boat, so I can't even slag you, Brian. The one thing you mentioned there, Brian, was, for me, a strange thing. But at the same time, I kind of... Because I'm still in complete and utter total love with Philip Clement, then I'm quite happy that he said it. However, if things weren't going as well, I'd probably be having a go at him for saying it. But he went on a kind of a tangent, a bit of a rant about contracts and how we've got five players now who are out of contract. I can't remember who put it in the comments, but somebody said his wording was strange, that he basically said that the players are worthless. Obviously, when he says worthless, he's talking about financially to the club. And does that just go to show, Brian, how poorly run we have been by the board?
100%. I think it shows how poorly the former director of football, or whatever you want to call him, was that left. I mean, he kept, every time he spoke in the press, he always kept saying or stressing that I'm comfortable that certain players are out of contract and certain players are this. And as far as I'm concerned, if a player's got a year left in his deal, I'm panicking with 18 months left in his contract, let alone 6 months. You know, at the end of the day, these players aren't going to hang around just for us to suddenly offer us a contract at the last minute. They want assurances long before their contracts are up. You know, that's just the way it is. If you suddenly start offering a player with 10 months to go, oh, by the way, we fancy keeping you a bit longer. Well, you know, I can't remember which manager it was, but he always said that if it got to 2 years, they started speaking about a new deal. And if the player decided he didn't want to stay, then, you know, they were then speaking about, you know, moving him on. That's just the way it is. Clubs need players to be committed, you know, long term. You can't have guys signing for a couple of years here and there. You need guys on decent contracts and, you know, a bit of commitment. Okay, the manager needs that as well. But poor Philip has now come into this scenario where all these players are going into the last 6 months of their contract. And that's the last thing he wants. He obviously works and operates in a different stratosphere from the previous manager. And I think most
managers in world football operate on a different stratosphere from our previous manager. How are Sunderland getting on these days, by the way? Are they doing all right? No?
I think they maybe had a draw and a few losses. That's about it.
They're not playing tonight, no?
They may very well be. They may very well be. But Kerr, football is an end, and I say it every time I come to you just to make the point to people watching that you know what you're talking about. So please don't embarrass me here. I'm sure I watched a documentary or something like that where it was about scouting and it was about players' contracts. And I can't remember what manager it was that said it, but he said, as soon as a player runs into 18 months left on his deal, he either accepts a new contract or you sell him.
Now, obviously, it depends on their ages and what they're offering at the team at the moment. Obviously, you look at our players, sort of, I think Clemence made it as a point that's happened in the past. He's noticed, and then obviously just now, but no, the players involved, it's just a point of doing 5 players out of contract. You look at the 5 players, the only one there you probably consider a new contract is John Lindstrom. The rest of them, you just say, on you go, because you want to give everybody else a new deal there. Ruth, Jack, McLaughlin, Warner. I want to give them new deals anyway, so I think he's just saying a club this size should be having 5 players out of contract in the season. But I think when you get a certain age at a football club, you do maybe only go for you a year extension. But a club at Rangers should be doing that anyway. If you get anybody half decent, I know nobody likes to sell players, but it's a business. And I think we have to try and turn some of these players into big money sell-ons, because we need the cash in. We just can't always keep buying, keep buying, keep buying, and taking out to make more money. So I think it's have to be more like a business sense for doing it, mind just constantly buying players. And that's what we've done. Martin recently bought too many players in and not sold enough for anyway.
Well, Super Sal, we are the people, Brian. Is Phil starting to think, what the fuck have I come into? Personally, no. Phil, the manager, strikes me as the type of guy who would have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and knew exactly what he was coming into. I think it's just getting to a point where he's getting asked that often about contracts and transfers that he's maybe just starting to say a tiny bit more than what he has in the past.
I think frustration's maybe sitting in with Big Phil. He's obviously, there's no way he's going to come in and just give Lundstrom, Ryan Jack, all these guys that are out of contract a new deal until he's seen them. So, you know, there's no way he's going to come in and say, right, there's new deals for you, and then realise, oh, that's not the sort of players I want. And then he's stuck with them. So he's obviously going to have to see them and, you know, assess them and see what he wants. So he's obviously decided that Lundstrom's a guy he wants to keep. But obviously, as Kerr said, you know, he came in a decent deal from Sheffield United because he was out of contract. You know, so there's all that as well. I wouldn't say it's anything more than frustration that this is the scenario that he's been left with, although it's not his fault. But he's quite a pragmatic manager. I like how he handles things. He never seems to stress when he's asked a question. He's very direct, and he treats, if it's a stupid question, they're going to get a stupid answer.
Can I just say, if there's anybody who has watched the press conference and you ever thought about getting into football journalism or doing podcasts or whatever, and you think to yourself, I could never do that, Raman Barwaj still does it. So there's hope for everybody. That guy is honestly one of the worst sports journalists I have ever seen in my life. And yet he's been doing it for about 30, 40 years. He's absolutely hopeless. One thing I did like from the press conference, Kerr, was he was asked about Ridvan, obviously. That seems to be the big talking point. And is he still fully committed? Have you had any conversations with him? Blah, blah, blah. And the manager's answer was, if I thought or I knew that a player wasn't 100% committed, then they wouldn't have played in the friendlies and they wouldn't play for the team. So that might be an indication that it might have just been a lot of white noise about Yilmaz.
No, I don't think so, Martin. I think Yilmaz is a sellable asset. So I think teams are always going to be interested in him, especially teams like Galatasaray, because this
time should be... Sorry, Kurt. But by white noise, I meant there was people speculating, had he went to the manager and said, I don't want to be here anymore, I want to leave, said this, said that, and Clemence basically said, if you're not 100% committed and you don't show it, then you don't play, not even in friendlies. So it might be a case of there's interest, but I'm kind of hoping from what the manager says, that it's not been a case of Ridvan's came and said, I don't want to be here anymore.
We just never know that, do we, Martin? The way he's been playing, listening, doesn't look like he's interested. He always has 100%, and you can see at the field, he's been playing actually quite well. But to be honest with you, if you get a bid in a £4 or £5 million, I take it, because we need to bring forwards in. And if he's a sellable asset, you take the money, because you've always got Bournemouth. I know he's not everybody's favourite, but he would do it till the end of the season. You've got Sterling who can move to left back, even put Ben Davies here at a push. But sometimes you can only sell your players' teams' interest. And like I said before, Ridvan's one of these ones. He's always been linked with teams. Even when he came, he wasn't long here and he was getting linked with clubs. So I think he's sellable. You'll get money back on him anyway, because I think we only spent 3.5 and it was add-ons after a certain amount of stuff. So I think we'll make a money back on him. But if it brings money in, he never go out and get a striker. The manager has to do it. Might not like doing it because he's one of the guys you might think could be a 14 player, but if it's maybe the only one he can get money for, he has to make that move.
Is it worrying though, Brian, that the one player who was starting to show a bit of promise and the one player who was spent, if rumours are to be believed, the best part of £6 million on, is now going to be out for the rest of the season? And is that why paying that much money for a player in our league is always maybe not quite worth the risk?
Paying any money is risk, but it amplifies it when it's your most expensive signing. And, you know, he's expected to score, you know, all your goals. And, you know, to be fair to him, he struggled initially and then got into his groove. He got that head injury. When he scored the goal, I think it was at St. Johnson, he got the head, you know, the eye socket injury. And then he was in the team with the mask and he started scoring, and then he got this bad innocuous injury out of nowhere. It's just such a shame, because obviously the guy can score goals. He was doing it for fun. We were watching it in pre-season, you know, with Feyenoord or PSV, sorry. He was scoring goals for fun in the pre-season. Comes to us and all of a sudden the injury curse strikes, and it's just, you shake your head and just think, this is just ridiculous. But the manager has already said before that he's not impressed with, you know, the regime of, you know, the cryogenics not getting used and stuff like that. So I think that would have been rectified very quickly when he arrived. But as we all know, pre-season was done by then, so that's what happened with the season that Van Bronckhorst took us to the the Seville final where we were, you know, the fittest team ever. And that was purely because of our pre-season that we did under the, not the previous manager, but the previous manager before that. And
so you know, are you saying get Gio in as fitness coach?
No. Whoever was the fitness coach under Steven Gerrard, you need to get them back because that was, we were supremely fit then. Supremely fit.
I get that, right? But Kerr, you're also looking at the type of injury that Danilo's got. We've all seen the pictures he posted. Was it on Instagram? He posted them, big scar down his leg. Then you're second guessing. Well, I mean, is he going to come back the same player? This is a guy that we spent a lot of money on.
Hopefully he does, but we've seen it in the past. He may come old, then maybe. Hopefully he does come back and he can give his. The more he's given us so far, because he's not put a lot of time because he's injured quite early on. Not just the one he's got just now, but before that, with his face as well. Listen, before he came to us, you probably hardly missed any games, but for some reason, you come to Rangers and you seem to get a wee bit of injury issues. But we're going to have to stop signing players, Martin, as well, who have got a history of injuries. I'm not saying every player's been injured at some point, but I mean, they actually know guys who have missed half a season through injury in the past that. Not at just at one club, but various clubs like Roof. They signed Roof, and everyone talks about how good Roof could be, but he doesn't do it enough because he's always injured. So that's
the manager again today, Kerr, saying that Roof's still out.
I know, that's what I mean. So he doesn't get a new contract for me because it's pointless unless it's pay as you play. Do you know what I mean? You only get paid if you're playing because it's just a waste of money. But so we're going to have to maybe sign younger players, maybe look at the youth system. It's got to change because and it's not just now, it's been over the years we've signed players who have been injured and never really come back the same, and it's maybe we're just unfortunate, but I do agree with the manager, the way we treat our injured players or players get injured, something has to be done behind the scenes. I don't know what the problem is, but it has to be something, because like Brian said, in there, Steven Gerrard, it seemed to be okay, but since then it's been quite bad.
Kerr, can I just go slightly off topic for a second? And I'm very conscious of time, folks, right? And I said to the guys before we started, there's not really a lot to talk about, so we might be struggling to get to the hour of the night, and we're 50 minutes in and we've barely spoke about anything. But Kerr, I seen something on Twitter, and we will touch on the Dumbarton game, and the first question I'm going to ask is, do we think it's going to be on? And my reaction to that would probably be, no, it won't be. But however, we'll get to that. But Kerr, I seen this on Twitter, and it's probably one of the best points I've ever seen on Twitter, which I know the bar's not exactly high, right? But they were talking about youth development, like you just mentioned there. And the point was, and I'll paraphrase, obviously, but it was along the lines of, the majority of players who come through your academy should be used as squad players. It shouldn't be that a player can only come through the academy if they're the next Messi or they're the next Ronaldo or they're so much better than the players that you've already got. Surely to God, you can have two or three players that come through your academy who can be used as squad players, and then you can go out and buy a really, really good player to come in and supplement that. Because the way that I'm looking at it is, if you have one or two squad players, you try to tell me that one or two of the young players coming in can't sit alongside, let's take Raskin and Lundstrom, right? Let's take that as the example, right? And let's take Bailey Rice. We're playing Celtic, we're playing Benfica in Europe, we're playing Sparta Praga, and whoever we're playing in Europe, right? Then you would play Raskin and Lundstrom, right? You're playing Ross County at home. Are you telling me that you can't play the likes of a Bailey Rice in beside a Raskin or a Bailey Rice in beside a Lundstrom as a squad player?
You could, but it's up to Bailey Rice to prove he's good enough, isn't it?
But that's what I'm saying. As a squad, I'm not talking about being the next
coming. No, but I mean, it's also up to the manager to take that chance, because the way they look at it, the results and their job. But listen, you like to see youth players in the setup. You've seen Cole McKinnon come into the friendly games and playing a few minutes. You've seen how good McCausland's done, been given his chance, Leon King's done a few times. It's good to have these young guys in, but a lot of academies all across the world, you get one or two who end up in your first team at a push, but there's so many football players that come through your academies end up elsewhere. And what I like Rangers Academy to do is, you see what other academies, Martin, especially down in England, especially at Man City, you see a lot of your players coming through, they don't really hit their first team, but they get sold for a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? Even if I'm a good
enough. But a lot of our youth players, Carroll, still maybe rack up 10, 12, 13 appearances.
Well, Leon Kane's got a lot of appearances, isn't he? Cole McKinnon's got a few. Lowry had a few before the one. Lloyd McCausland's got a few.
How many appear, apart from because we had a serious injury crisis, apart from that spell, how many appearances has Leon King had? Two? Three?
But it's up to managers at that time. Only managers at a time, and the other people have to give him the chance, and maybe Michael Beale at a time doesn't want to give any young guys a chance. Whereas, Clement might be totally different, but he's seen it with, I mean, before he came in, the boy Sterling hadn't played, hardly played, but he's come in, he's now turned into like one of people are saying he should be one of the first names in the team sheet, and then you'd get Rose McCausland when you like get a game. He's come in, through injuries, but sometimes you need a bit of luck to get in the first team, and it's your, if you get that luck to get in, then it's your opportunity to say, I want to stay here, which Ross has done, to be fair to him.
Aye, so, but if we were a properly run football club in terms of, if we get, not every transfer you're going to get right, of course you're not, right? But if we were a properly run...
I think it's easier, Martin, at a smaller club than it is at a big club when you're challenging for stuff. Because fans also want to see you bring in big name signings and stuff. Like, I know I might be believing in the past a bit, but it is easier at a smaller club, you get away with it more. When you get a bigger club, if you lose games, the fans don't like it. And you don't want to put that on a young guy's shoulder. So maybe bringing in two or three at a time is better than bringing in four or five. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with that, but at a bigger club, because results do matter. Whereas
if you one youth player against Motherwell at home, if you're Rangers Football Club, right, and your other 10 outfield players can't carry one youth player through a game against Motherwell at home, then there's something wrong.
I won't disagree with you, but that's up to the manager to give these guys a chance. And I think if I've done it, we maybe get more through, but it's up to the manager in the day to say to these guys, you should be taking that chance. You should have to put Lewis Mayo had kicked the ball at Rangers. He went to Thistle and he won their player of the year. And look at him at Cali. Derek McInnes is saying he's going to be in the Scotland squad next. So sometimes.
But that's my point, right? Lewis Mayo is a very good footballer, right? He's not, he wouldn't be what you would class as good enough for Rangers, right? In terms of being a high quality player. But he would certainly work as a squad player to be played in Scotland.
I know, but maybe he didn't want to work as a squad. Maybe he's happy being away in his own career path and end up with a bigger move down. I think, look at Rose McCausland now putting in Bristol City, do you know what I mean? So sometimes these guys, they think they're not going to get a chance, or I'm not happy sitting for too long, or they don't want to sit on a bench and play a game here and there. They want to go and get their own career started.
Which is absolutely 100% fine. But if you say to somebody like a Ross McCausland, if you say, right, Ross, you're going to play 15 games this season minimum, and we're going to pay you X amount of £1,000 a week. Yeah, okay, that will do me. Lovely, brilliant. And I've got a chance then. Once I know that I'm going to get games as a squad player, that takes the pressure off a wee bit, because you know you're going to get those games and you're going to get that time. And then you can maybe go on and show what you can do. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. Brian, we're supposed to be playing Dumbarton tomorrow. Are we going to be playing them? And by the way, just before I finish my
point... No, we're not going to be playing tomorrow.
Do you not think so?
I can't see it. I've seen the forecast. It's pee and rain from midnight till about 7 o'clock in the morning in Dumbarton, according to the Met Office. If there's any football, I mean, you know as well as anybody, Martin, that pitch, sorry, Scott as well, the Fairies have been there. You know how much of a bog that place is. If that pitch is even remotely playable by 5 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be amazed.
I have to, and I hope it is playable, Kieran. We'll come to why in a wee second, right? But like Brian says, you know, I covered the B team a lot last season. You travelled down there as well, Kerr, to see the B team. It is one of the worst pitches in Scotland.
It's just where it's situated, isn't it? It's on the Clyde, so it's right off the water. So you're getting a lot of the wind and the cold. And even if you go there in the summer, it's freezing. But you just hope it is on, Martin. And hopefully, maybe be 5:30 on the night, come back my boot with a hairdryer down the park. But it'd be good if it played, because they need the game played. We've got games stacking up, so we don't want to keep too many stacking up.
Brian, it's a weather forecast.
Keep
your phone down, because we can see the TV in the background and I'll get a copyright strike. Jeez, O'Brien. I get it. The weather forecast's poor. I get it. I totally get it. And Kerr, if the game isn't played, that has some quite serious permutations for Wednesday.
Yeah, Balogun and Goldson and miss the Hibs game, didn't
they? I think Goldson misses it anyway, but I think Balogun will miss it if the game's off tomorrow.
Yeah, by all accounts, it said that earlier, so listen, we just have to wait and see. I think the game will go ahead. I'm more optimistic than Brian, but I just think it has to, and I think we want it to. I mean, it shouldn't be any problem tomorrow. Battle of a part-time team. There are guys out working every day. Some guys miss games because they can't get shift changes and stuff like that, so if they can't get down there tomorrow, even like you mentioned there, some of the young boys and beat them, then there's the issues.
Well, I mean, I think Neil Lennon's boys playing in, and I think John Hartson had a wee bit of a tiff with one of the Sky reporters, which was absolutely hilarious. Brian, just quickly, I'm going to come to you in the game in a wee second, but how is the women's game going?
It's half-time 0-0. I think territorially, I would say Rangers have had the better of the game, and they've been more in the Celtic half, putting pressure on them. I think Rachel Rose hit the bar from, I think it was at least 25, 30 yards out. It was a fabulous strike. But it's a typical Old Firm game, frantic. Very, very heavily contested, but we're certainly showing more attacking intent than Celtic.
So is Joe Potter the happier manager at halftime?
I would say the Celtic one is, because we should possibly be ahead. We've had a couple of, I think Rachel Rowe again had a chance for her. She was in the box and a shot flashed by the post. So I would say the Celtic manager would be a bit more relieved than Rangers manager. Joe Potter might be slightly frustrated that she's not ahead.
Okie doke. Thanks, Brian, reporting there from the Excelsior Stadium. Brian, okay, the game's on tomorrow, right? We're going on the assumption that the game's on, right? Let's go on that. What does the manager do with the game on Wednesday? Does he still go as strong as he can to try and get some minutes in the legs and try and get that kind of consistency? Or does he make a few changes and possibly, dare I say it, bring in some youth?
I tend to... Players like to play games. They don't like to train. Simple as that. If you're asked to play two games a week, as in Wednesday and Saturday, players lap that up. They prefer that than, training all week and then one game a week. They would prefer the two game a week scenario. So for me, if you can't play on the Wednesday and then play on the Sunday, something's far wrong. So I would pick just go your strongest both games. If you get early doors up, tomorrow, 5:30. If you get early doors up against Dumbarton tomorrow, then you start thinking about, we don't need to have these players on the pitch, so we'll make some subs. But always start with your strongest team. Don't take any chances.
If the game is on, Kerr, then regardless, the pitch will be horrible because it's a horrible pitch anyway. Does that come into the manager's thoughts?
It might, but I kind of disagree with Brian about it. I don't like disagreeing with Brian because I like Brian. But I just think the manager should mix up tomorrow. Some experienced guys in the park, but some of the younger boys as well getting a chance to play because they need some minutes in the leg. They need to gel in with the team. And that's Dumbarton side, aren't they great? In League 2, middle of League 2, they're part-time. You get beat all week off of Bonnie Legros and a big boy at the back, Sean Crichton, who's old, I think he's about the same age as me. Sean's been about it for years.
And he's 60s?
They can't, Jay Hograth can't play in goals because he's on loan for us, so they have to put in a third keeper. Listen, if you can't beat Dumbarton tomorrow, we have maybe four or five experienced players and the rest young boys, then we've got issues, like I said, the other apart. And it's no disrespect to Dumbarton, but that's the level they're at, and it's the level we're at. Our youth team should be getting out there and beating them anyway because, let's say, they're part-timers, those guys miss games due to shifts and stuff like that. So it's just football. I know it's a magic of the cup and stuff like that, but we need to be out there tomorrow. And I'm not going to sit here and say we'll take 5-6 or more from, because sometimes that happens in the cup, sometimes it doesn't. Just get out there, getting a victory and moving on to Wednesday, because that's what we need to do.
I suppose there's the benefit as well that a lot of the youth that are in the squad use that as their home ground when they were playing the B team. So it's not going to be an unfamiliar place for them to play. So it's not like, they're playing at Morton or, Partick Thistle or, somewhere else. It's a familiar ground. So they know that, they know it. So it's not going to be alien to them, is it?
just don't walk into the home dressing room, that's what I would say.
Well, yes, yes.
No, but you've also got the point, Brian, where you've got people like Raskin just coming back for a serious injury. Surely the manager's no playing players like that.
In scenarios like that, I would suggest, I would agree with you that he may be not risked in a game like this.
Ryan Jack, there's no chance you're playing Ryan Jack on that pitch.
No chance at all.
Suter, there's no chance you're playing Suter on that pitch.
Nope.
Probably you wouldn't play Bonner on that pitch either. I wouldn't even want Jack Butland in goals on that pitch.
to be honest, I don't want any of our players on that pitch, but unfortunately we're having it.
Was going to start anyway, isn't it? So, by all accounts, Jack Butland isn't starting anyway, so...
I don't even want to get into that debate. Look, folks, that will do us tonight. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. And just before we go, actually, I suppose, Kerr, we should say, I mean, if the game's on tomorrow, which I'm like 95.5. We'll find it at 1 o'clock, but I would imagine they'll come back for that pitch inspection and go, yeah, fucking no chance that game's getting played. But if it is and the game goes ahead, like you say, you're not sitting here saying it'll be 6 or 7, but there is no universe where we don't win tomorrow, is there?
No chance, no. I think we'll win 4 or 5. I don't think 6 or 7, I think we'll be 4 or 5. And I would actually play Dessa tomorrow because I think he needs goals, or somebody said in the chat, and he needs, that'll get him some confidence. I was actually starting tomorrow. The only thing I would start with him is if he gets injured, we'll still go.
Brian, like I say, is the care. There's no conceivable universe, multiverse, planet, Pluto, whatever you want to class that as, because that's no class as a planet anymore, is it? Or has it been recategorized as a planet?
A planet? I don't know.
Uranus.
There's not a Pluto's chance in hell we lose tomorrow, is there?
No.
Even if Alan McCoy is playing up front tomorrow, we'd still win.
Correct. As Kerr said earlier, with all due respect to Dumbarton, they're League Two. I think they're mid-table in League Two even, so that's poor. The only teams that are below them are Clyde and Elgin, so that doesn't really say much for them.
Ian McCall's a Clyde manager.
Yeah.
What's that all about? That guy's been a boot, hasn't he? Anyway, sorry.
But no, if Rangers don't win by at least a handful tomorrow, that's a poor result.
I remember him. I remember your debut for Rangers, Ian McCall. I think he scored
a screamer against Ibs.
I remember he got caught walking about Ardennes. Well, a wee tipple on him singing songs he shouldn't have been singing. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. It has been a very, very quick hour and 6 minutes, I do have to say. So thank you so much. Like I say, if you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like, please subscribe, helps the channel grow, and of course come back after the show and put in all your comments. In fact, see every comment that you've put in the chat, come back onto the YouTube after this is done and put all the comments back in, because that helps share the video as well. And you can't see right now, but when I'm talking, my hands are pure gone like that. I don't know why my hands do that. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you everybody who watches on Facebook. Thank you to all the people who listen back on our audio as well. That's grown and grown, and I think we average over 1,000 people now who download our audio stuff, which is absolutely incredible. So thank you so much for giving up your Friday night to watch us. Thank you, Kerr, for giving up your Friday night, and I know your wee granddaughter's waiting on you. And obviously, Brian, you've got your pussy to attend to.
Correct. But she's away sleeping. She's away sleeping in other parts of the house. So I will just get a nice tin of cider and watch the second half of the women's game.
And watch the second half of the women's game. So there you go. So we may possibly be back tomorrow, depending on that 1 o'clock pitch inspection. I very much doubt it, but we may be back. And if we're not, then the phone-in's back on Monday, folks. The phone-in is back on Monday. So if there's no game tomorrow, you'll catch us on Monday. So enjoy your weekend. I hope the game's on tomorrow. Nobody loves me, Ewan. I've never been loved in my life. I don't even love myself. If I was chocolate, I would stay in the freezer. that's pretty much my life. So there you go. So yeah, like I say, we'll all get out of here shortly, folks, if people would stop bringing comments up. If the game's off tomorrow, we'll see you on Monday night. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for watching. Sports Social.
Social Podcast Network.